Aquae multae non potuerunt extinguere caritatem, nec flumina obruent illam. Many waters cannot quench charity, neither can the floods drown it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, these words from the Song of Songs speak of the central theme of these Sundays after the Feast of Epiphany, the virtue of charity. It is particularly apt since we are moving towards Lent, where God showed the magnitude of his love for us since he sent his only begotten Son. Today's epistle reminds us of charity as a fundamental duty, while the gospel gives us a practical means of achieving it. In his first epistle to the Corinthians, the apostle to the Gentiles tells us, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal." Charity is a fundamental duty for a Christian. All programs and resolutions of the spiritual life are of little value if they are not animated by love and directed to the perfection of love. Our hearts have been made for love. In fact, we cannot live without an immense need for love. Love is so strong that it can lift up our poor human nature so that we can overcome all troubles, suffering, and even death. Indeed, many waters cannot quench charity, neither can the floods drown it. Without it, nothing has any value. In today's epistle, St. Paul enjoins us to practice all kinds of good works. However, detachment, mortification, humility, and all the other virtues are of little worth if they do not incline the heart to a wider, more complete, and more expansive charity. So says St. Paul, "But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection." Such was the attitude of St. Francis de Sales as well. He wrote, "Each person makes for himself a perfection according to his desires, some in an austere life, others in almsgiving, and others in frequently receiving the sacraments. But for myself, I only know the perfection of loving God with all my heart and my neighbor as myself." These are the great commandments of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself. Charity has such a high dignity because it is in the first place an act of the union of our souls with God's infinite goodness. This act of love towards God is an act of the will towards him, desiring to be in his presence because of his overpowering goodness. Obviously, this love cannot be separated from love of neighbor. It is under this aspect that the Apostle speaks of charity in today's episode, carefully pointing out that all our relations with our neighbor should be inspired by love. "Put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against any other, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive." Fraternal charity is the mark of God's elect. If we do not have this distinctive mark, Jesus does not recognize us as his disciples. Our Heavenly Father does not love us as his children, nor will he take us into his kingdom. We know all too well, dear faithful, that we can forget this easily. We get lost in details, since we have to make use of so many means, exercising so many virtues. However, St. Paul is optimistic in telling us that by persevering in charity, we will receive from Christ a certain peace within our hearts, which allow us to master our own evil inclinations and overflow into peace with our neighbors. In this, we can achieve the ideal of the spiritual life, forming one body with all, being bound together in this divine charity, because we are all children of the one Father. If the epistle gives us the ideal of the Christian life, the gospel shows us the practical way to live this ideal. St. Matthew reports a parable spoken by Jesus of the weed sown in the field of wheat. It is God who sows good seed generously in the world. Grace and love, desire for total oblation, ideals of an apostolic, religious, and saintly life. But in the midst of all this good, an enemy comes to sow evil. We see this most especially in our world today. We can look back wistfully at the state of things even 70 years ago and talk about how much better things were and wonder about how we got here. The answer from today's gospel points to the work of the enemy. It is the enemy of man who has sown weeds in the field planted by God. God has permitted this to test us. We may be scandalized by the sight of evil working its way even into the best places, seeing that even among God's friends, among those who should be a source of edification to others, there are some who behave unworthily. Our present time is filled with many examples, even within Holy Mother Church. We could be filled with zeal, like the servants in the parable, and want to remedy this evil and root up the weeds. But God answers, no, lest perhaps gathering up the weeds, you root up the wheat also together with it. The weeds in our present time will not overcome the wheat planted by God, because the divine farmer will tend to it, water it, and fertilize it with his grace, his gifts, and his virtues. The weeds are spared for now, not because they are good, but in order to save the wheat. In the same way, God spares the wicked and does not destroy them for the sake of the elect. The end result is that the wheat is far better than it would have been precisely because it had to contend for resources with the weeds. When God asks us to endure with patience certain situations, as inevitable as they are deplorable, He asks for one of the greatest exercises of charity, compassion and mercy. It is in such situations that our charity is made strong, that souls are converted to Christ by our example. He does not tell us to fraternize with evil, to join with the weeds, but He tells us to endure it with the longanimity with which He Himself endured it. Even at the Last Supper with our Lord, there was a traitor among the apostles. Yet Jesus wanted him among his close friends and gave him occasion after occasion to repent. Take note, dear faithful, one of the greatest opportunities for the practice of charity is offered to us by those who by their evil conduct give us so many occasions to forgive them, for returning good for evil, and for suffering injustice for the love of God. At the harvest time, the divine farmer says, gather up the weeds and burn them, and bring the wheat into my barns. Consider that the weeds cannot be changed into wheat, but the wicked can be converted and become good. The Lord is also master of the weeds. He has the power to make use of it for the salvation of the wheat among which it grows. Think not that the evil of this world is without purpose, or that God cannot change it into something good. The evil one is permitted to live, either that he may thereby better his own condition, or that others may be helped to become holy by him, says St. Augustine. The history of the church furnishes many consoling illustrations of this truth. Every period of laxity in the church is followed by a period of reform and fervor. Think of St. Mary Magdalene, St. Dismas, the good thief, and St. Peter himself when he denied Christ. When our love for God is perfect, we can live among the wicked without being harsh or contentious, without being influenced by them, but rather doing them good. Our Lord promised St. Peter at the founding of his church that the gates of hell will not prevail. Take note of these words. Gates are a defensive structure. To say that they will not prevail is to indicate implicitly that they are being attacked. The goodness of God is not a weak, miserable thing. It is extremely powerful with His glory and divine majesty. The Church of Jesus Christ is storming hell to liberate all of the captives of Satan. On Easter Sunday, those gates were thrown down. As long as we strive to grow in love of God and neighbor, we fight this battle with our Lord and Captain, the Savior of the world. Many waters cannot quench charity, neither can the floods drown it. Let us love wholeheartedly, for then we will be with our Lord. We will suffer as He did without fear, and He will set us free to join His church and be with Him in the heavenly city. There is no better example of how to do this than Our Lady, who accompanied our Lord in His mission. Being full of grace and with a perfect charity, she stood at the foot of the cross, united to His will to save all of us from sin. Love is stronger than death. The victory is ours if we remain united to our Lord by seeking the protection of Our Lady under her mantle. O Virgin most powerful, help of Christians, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.